Luke 12:33, we're still studying the thief. We looked at some of the figurative meanings of thief yesterday, so now let's look at the literal meanings. And chapter 12 in verse 39, starting 37, blessed are the servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to me to meat or food, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. So the idea of the thief is... Well, let's think about thief in here, in this one. Who is the thief? The thief is you. The thief is your mind that is trying to steal the mystery of God. That's his one job. He's trying to cause you to use your mind. Because then he robs you, the real you, of the mystery of God. Because he's thwarted the act of sanctification, or the essence of sanctification. Instead of getting rid of the pepper in the salt shaker, he's adding more pepper each time he resurrects himself. So emptiness becomes nigh unto impossible, because instead of emptying, you keep filling. What? All right, let's go to John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, what does that mean? You've entered into the sheepfold because somebody, or your mind, has made it seem attractive for you, for your mind, to come into the sheepfold. That's why there are sheep and goats, but we don't try to separate them. God will do it. But if you're coming into the sheepfold in any way to save your life or to enhance it, then you're not a part of the sheep. You're a goat and a thief and a robber. Unfortunately, a whole lot of goats are going into the sheepfold. Everybody understand that parable? A little bit? That's why...
Well, you won't have ears to hear. You'll be like the guy that goes to the wedding.
Right, and same thing. Because your ears are being tickled with feigned words. Your ears are being tickled so that you need something that you think that this mystery has. And so instead of dying, Christ entering the sheepfold, you as the goat enter in.
This has everything in it, even the rich young ruler. Same thing.
He was trying to enter in as a goat.
He would like to have
And so does everybody that this crap of trying to sell the kingdom of God to people. It's just men pleasing. So you're a goat herder. All right, let's keep up.
And the minute you try and sell it, you become one of them.
Well, you already were one. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but cometh up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, and the door is singularly Jesus Christ, him alone. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Thus spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, or the sheepfold. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them, the true sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And you see, by definition, your mind and the use of your mind make it, you're the thief. Everybody see that a little bit? He tries to get in some other way other than death. Once saved, always saved. You have to be gone from the picture. This is as big as it gets.
Well, I was thinking about when you said once saved, always saved, I was thinking about I will never leave you nor shall forsake you. Jesus on the cross and he's forsaken.
So it's like, he won't forsake you, but you will forsake him. It's as automatic as breathing if you haven't seen the end of all things. That's why the preaching of the cross is so critical. It destroys the wisdom of the wise and the understanding of the prudent. Yeah. Remember, salvation isn't the goal. That's the merest of beginnings. Sanctification is the goal. But you have to accept you be converted and become as that little child. And that little child is simply and totally dependent on the Father. But our minds will try to get us in there some way. That's all it does. In doing so, it keeps you alone. All right, let's go to John 12.
Isn't the sanctification the realm of freedom where all things can be seen and worked out without fear? It's like,
I don't know where that came from. Sanctification is when you, beginning of wisdom is fear and trembling. I mean, you so fear initially, fear because you should be afraid, but the fear then becomes you will do nothing. You're afraid of doing anything that would offend the Father. And that's everything about you. You cannot use your mind for sanctification. It's impossible. Your mind is the abject and enemy of sanctification.
Are we not sanctified in here, right now? Isn't this a place of sanctuary? Are they the same words, same?
Look, sanctification has an end. You may be in the sanctuary, but you may not be being sanctified. The sanctuary is a place where everybody wants to be in the sanctuary in terms of its absence of fear, and but they want to come in by some other way. The sanctuary is a sheepfold. They want to come in by some other way so they can save their lives. So the mind takes over. So sanctification is the end result, where the innocence of that point is transformed into holiness by antagonism. So that there is nothing that can bring you back to life, not fear, not lust, not greed, not anything. So the end result of sanctification is holiness. That's why the garment is not spotted by the flesh in any way.
Sanctification, your purification, is that what that means, or anything like that?
Well, the end result of sanctification in our this stupid parable I thought of is that you got all the salt out of the salt shaker. There's no more you left in the vessel. That's what baptism should be. But again, we build again the thing that we destroyed. We make ourselves the transgressor because we start going back to using all the same tools of the mind. It's the renewing of the mind that is taking place. And the renewing of the mind, the end result is total emptiness. That's what the mind of Christ is. Kino. Empty. Not resurrected for any purpose. And that's why you're tested along all the things that can come against you. That's what the purpose of time and space is, to see if there's anything that can cause you to put your eyes on yourself. So your mind, the renewal of your mind is what the sanctification is called. Okay?
Well, yes and no. I still can't get away from sanctification being the place where the testing takes place, and it all is happening. And to me, this is.
Let me show you. Go to Hebrews 13. Okay, you could call it, but this the church, the sanctuary, but it's not a building. It's the gathering of the people. You can call it a sanctuary if you want to. But its purpose is sanctification. We are fed in Jerusalem. That's the only real sanctuary. But we bear his reproach outside the camp. That's why let's read it. Verse 8 of chapter 13 of Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats or food that you're eating, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That's where the trial of faith is, outside the camp. That's the purpose of time and space in this mystery, because the New Jerusalem in us is around us. It's our surrounding. We bear his reproach outside the camp. So that's why there's no trial of faith internally. The trial of faith is bearing his reproach outside the camp. A little bit?
I still don't get that outside. The test is only outside.
You talked about that a couple months ago, something about trial of faith versus rebellion.
Which is the trial of no faith. You bear his reproach when, because it's your total life, and wherever you are, you speak it, you will be ridiculed. You will be, in some cases, killed.
So you are sanctified even though you're outside the camp. That doesn't take away your sanctification.
Sanctification is the end result. It can't happen without the renewal of the mind. It can't happen when you keep yourself alive. It's the opposite of sanctification. It's putting more pepper in the salt shaker. All your mind can do in this analogy is pour pepper in the salt shaker. There's nothing your mind can do that has any benefit to God except die. Then you can do the three things that we've talked about so often. You here are they that keep the commandments of God. Here are they with the patience of the saints. Here are they that have the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them, no longer lead them. It can't happen, Gary. Sanctification has nothing to do with what goes on internally. It has to do with bearing his reproach outside the camp. Christ, that we'd be in a warfare. But your warfare is over once you're baptized. If your baptism was your death, was your burial.
So all these trials of faith really aren't trials of faith. It's all rebellion. If you didn't rebel, you wouldn't have any trials.
No, that's not true. You won't have any internal trials. The trial, you'll have massive trials outside the camp. You're bearing his reproach outside the camp. What does that mean? It means that the world will hate you. It means you will be criticized and ridiculed by your very relatives. You'll be ridiculed by your friends.
Okay, that's the external versus internal.
All right. And they'll kill you and think they're God holy service.
During that moment, the trial is within you to not succumb or bow down to them, but to remember who you are. Internally declare who your life is. I'm trying to put words to that, but it's.
But it's not. It's not an internal trial. You bear his reproach outside the camp.
Where is faith tested? It's not tested outside.
Yes,
of
it
you.
Is. That's the
it's
trial of faith.
Inside of you. It comes from outside, but the trial is inside. Christ is in you, and the mind and everything else is trying to pull it away. Well, that's inside. That's your mind, your heart, your whole business. And I don't see.
But warfare about is not internal in terms of your whether or not you're. It's all after you have seen your death. That then can only and then be the trial of faith.
And your death is confirmed by your confession at that point.
Right. That's why I'm going to talk about a lot more soon, is that everybody say they believe, but how many people have come to here because of you? I mean, I don't want to get in that ball game, but because of any of us, except... You gotta understand that you cannot replicate yourself as long as you're operating from your mind. You can represent them through man pleasing, but you know better than that. There's the child, the adolescent. The young man and the father, those positions, it's only the father that can duplicate himself. Let's go to John 20. I think it's 20. It's not 20, it's 21. Well, I'm going to just read from from verse 26 in John 20. Starting there. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither my finger, and behold my hands, and reach there hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Then saith Jesus unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Now, he's not saying that they're going to go fishing like we would say you're going to go fishing today. He's saying they're returning to their old way of life. And I think it's 10 or 9 or some, it's a lot, I didn't count them right now. I used to think it was 7, but I just now think it's maybe 8 or 9 of the disciples. We essentially decided we're going to go back to our old lives, even after they'd seen the resurrected Christ. And then what happened? Then Jesus mocked them. When you read the rest of the chapter, and then it was all because Peter was the leader. And then instead, he went through this whole process of feeding him and all that. And then they had dined. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, thou love me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. So then from then on, it goes into that whole thing. And I'm sure when he said, lovest thou me more than these, as all this massive fish they had caught. The point of it is, here, even after the resurrection, even after seeing the Christ incarnate, they had seen him walking Tom, they'd watched Thomas stick his hand in his side, they still internally said, we're gonna go fishing, we're gonna use this. Wasn't until Pentecost that they became real disciples.
One of the reasons Jesus had to die so that the Spirit would descend and basically give them power to believe.
But the Spirit's only job is the revelation of Christ. Right, so it was the Christ in them that became the life. There's no more any, their lives were gone.
Apparently they couldn't, even with experiencing his life, death, and resurrection, they had no power within them or something.
Well, their minds still controlled them.
Right. Until given something by
Right, because they died and Christ was born in them. You can't be born again unless you die. Born anew, you're not carrying around two. You shouldn't be. Your life is Christ. There is no other. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You can't keep yourself alive under any guise. All right, take a big gulp.